Hey friends, thank you for joining the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'd like to welcome Shannon, Kara, and Josh.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Guys, it's been a little minute since you've been in here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back.
We're excited to have you.
Yes.
Anytime we can talk about God.
Yes.
I can do that all day.
That is a good topic.
It is. It is. Our topic today is faithfulness.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's deep.
Very deep.
Yes.
That's the ultimate goal.
It is.
Of all Christians, is to be found faithful.
It should be.
Yes.
For sure.
I mean, it needs to be. Yes.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to stand before Him one day, and that's what we want to hear. Mm-hmm. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. I've worried about that in my life. I'm just going to tell you that. I've worried about not hearing those words in my life.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it goes on and I'm just going to read it. Matthew 25. So 25:23 says, His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And then it goes on and it talks about him separating the sheep from the goats.
Oh, yeah.
And it says that those on the right, the sheep, the faithful, are going to be told to come and inherit. And those on the left, the goats, the unfaithful, will be told to depart from him.
That's the worst.
And
that is so scary.
The most terrifying.
It is.
Thought.
Mm-hmm. It is. You know, I can remember as a child just saying, "Lord, am I really saved? Am I really going to make it?" You know, because I'm learning.
Yeah.
As a child, you know, but that's what Sunday school teachers taught me in reading God's word. You know, all you have to do is ask.
Yeah.
You know, and our minds for some reason don't want to wrap around that.
Yeah. And when you're a child, you think too that, you know, it's about being good.
Yes.
And you're afraid you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn about grace.
Yes.
It's that we don't have to be good enough. We have to trust in His blood is enough.
Yes.
His blood covers over all my mistakes.
Well, He did it all.
Exactly.
There's nothing we can do.
We strive to be good.
Accept Him. Right. Right. But He says, you know, I always refer to John 3:16. Mm-hmm. Whosoever. And if we believe that, all these other things will fall into place. They really will.
I always thought it would be neat to have a car tag. My car tag, you know how you can personalize them, that says whosoever.
Whosoever.
And I thought, I wonder how many people would get that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it'd probably have to be abbreviated to like four letters or something. Yeah.
You should do that, Kara.
You should, Kara.
The thing that I really cued into whenever Shannon and I talked about this, in Matthew 25:23, the last part of that, enter into the joy of the Lord. That is not even descriptive with words.
Right.
You can't. Yeah, because once you've heard, well done, good and faithful servant, can you imagine the joy that fills your heart? That you have finally made it.
Yes. But you know, we can have that joy now.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I often pray, Lord, restore my joy. Restore the joy that you have for me. Because, you know, life bogs us down. There's a lot of times.
He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
That's right.
We have to have it. But the ultimate joy to enter into heaven, being found faithful.
Yes. To receive that reward for being faithful.
Yes.
Yes.
And the stark contrast of that with the goats and the sheep is, we talked about that a little bit too, and how disturbing that is when you really think about standing before God and knowing that there are going to be some people who are going to be in the wrong category.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those people are going to be people who think they're in the right category.
Right.
And we talk about that in Matthew. We hear about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven."
Right.
That's scary.
That is scary.
Yes.
It's just like the demons. Remember when he said, that demon said, "Jesus, I know."
Exactly.
"Who are you?"
Exactly.
You know, so we got to know that we know.
Yeah, that's right. We can't play Christian.
No.
We have to be faithful.
Yes.
Faithful to him. Faithful children.
That's right.
And so the first thing we have to do, I think, Love has to be the main ingredient.
Amen. Because God is love.
God is love.
Yes.
It has to be the main ingredient in our lives if we're going to be found acceptable. Yeah, like you said, 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them.
Well, the law right there, when you, if same way in Matthew 22:37, and the second is like it, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's something that we always have to remember. You have to love everybody.
And we can't do that.
Mm-mm,
no. We can't do that. Without God's love in us, we cannot do
that's
that.
That's right.
And as much as we try to work to do something that God is not in, then it becomes just what your next verses talk about, the clanging cymbal, and it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, nothing that we do.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead and read that.
I love that one. Yeah, read that one.
If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, I do not have love, I gain nothing.
Right. Which goes back to what we said. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But it goes back to what we said a while ago. There's nothing you can do to clinch your salvation that he hasn't already done. Accept,
right.
Believe, receive, and accept him, and do what he's asked us to do.
Right.
But there's no work that we can do to make us worthy.
Nope.
And whenever you read those scriptures right there in 1 Corinthians, that reminds me of, sadly, how many people, we've talked about this too, have been hurt in church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that sounds like there. You've got people that are working, that are doing, but they're doing it without love. And whenever you do without love, people get hurt, people get mistreated. And so everything that we do in the body of Christ has to be done in love.
Right.
It says in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, follow God's example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we follow his example, we're going to be living a life of love. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So if we're following God's example, everything that we're doing is going to be done in love.
Yeah, for because sure. You have to love.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy. I mean, we've talked about before, we all have worked in the public, you know, and you don't always agree with people all the time.
No.
You know?
No. And sometimes those that are most unlovable or hardest for you to love are the ones that need love the most.
Right.
And I mean, when I say that, it very well may be me.
Well,
you know, sometimes you need that extra love and you act out because of it.
Right.
And so.
And that, like you said, it can be any one of us can be in the valley, you know, going through some things. And we need that extra love from our church family, our friends, you know.
Yeah.
I always think about, what is that person going through that I'm unaware of?
Right.
Because
that's good.
Major things happen in people's life, and you're a quiet person, Shannon, and would not always willing to share. And so maybe something's going on in your life that I would be unaware of, and I need to keep that in the back of my head at all times. Is the person that's the cashier or the, you know, whatever. What's going on? Maybe there's deeper concern there.
So what are you saying, that you know what's going on with me but not Shannon? Are you trying to say that I'm kind of verbal?
No, we all know what's going on with you.
Everybody knows what's going on with Mary.
Well, you know, I like to share.
That's good, and we love it.
No, but that's dead on. You guys are exactly right, because usually when somebody's lashing out, it has nothing to do with you.
No.
You're just in the line of fire.
And being in the classroom for years, that was huge.
Yeah.
I always knew, even though I wanted to, you know, get right in the middle of somebody, I always knew, okay, what's going on? And then if you heard the backstory, oh my gosh, you were heartbroken.
Right.
And so I
you
think
you just want to hug them. And,
oh yeah. Yeah. And so I think we have to love.
Right.
And even like you said, it's sometimes the ones that are the most unlovable that need the most love.
Yeah. And they may be on the edge right there. Showing them the love of God may be exactly that may be exactly what they need.
Well, perfect
the
love.
Love of God.
Perfect love casts it out all fear.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what the problem is. Mm-hmm. There's a fear that tries to control us.
Yeah. Yes.
But you know, we have to be watching for those that are drowning in it.
Yes, very much so.
But if we're imitating God, you think about if you're trying to act like Jesus acted when he was upon the earth. You never saw him. Of course, he knew the heart of man.
Right.
But so compassionate. And compassion is really just love in action, right? So everybody that Jesus came in contact with, he didn't just, you know, say, I love you, but he put his love into action. He healed them. He helped them. He delivered them. He did whatever they needed him to do. And so that's what we have to do. We have to turn our love into compassion and serve people.
Yes. And I think of the times in the Gospels that it talks about how tired he was, how much he had been inundated with people, and he just needed a moment. And then there would be the people again. Right. But he didn't complain.
No.
He knew they needed love and they needed him.
And that's why he got away by himself, so he could,
recharge.
Collect himself.
Mm-hmm. But look at
spend
the woman.
Time with the Father.
Oh, absolutely. The woman with the issue of blood comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if she hadn't gotten to him, she would not have been made whole. You know,
but and her faithfulness to do that.
Yes, but his love that surrounded him made her desire to touch his garment.
Nobody was afraid to approach him because he was full of love, and they heard about him, and they would know when he came into the town because, you know,
throngs
word would be spreading.
Of people.
Yeah. He's here.
Yeah. And even his own disciples said, you are being pressed in on by so many. How can you know one person has touched you differently?
Right.
Yeah.
Because the power went out.
Yes.
The power went out of them.
And so we have to remember, everybody we come in contact with, you don't know what they're going through. We have to love them like Jesus would love them. You know, we're his hands and feet. We're his body.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we have to be meeting the needs of people and loving them like he would if he were still here. And he is here through us,
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that leads to kind of our second act of faithfulness, which is service.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be servants. Recently, Pastor preached a message about the door of effective work that has been opened to us. And he was talking about this great time of opportunity in the kingdom, the harvest, that it's the harvest is great right now. And he said, it's not going to be about leadership. It's not going to be about titles. It's going to be about servants.
Yes.
It's going to be about service to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to be faithful, I think we each have a really specific area of personal evangelism.
Right.
Like, you know, each of us in our own, I don't know, our own realm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Walk of life.
Well, you know, Psalms 119, I believe, is where it talks about you know, order my steps. You know, one of my favorite songs, by the way. But he said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So even if we go back to that, we're saying, lead us and guide us to be faithful and just to follow what you have laid out before us to do.
And the only way we can do that successfully is to do that humbly, seeking him, which I think that's the service part.
Right.
Yeah.
And in our world, humbleness is viewed as weakness.
Yes.
So.
But he says a lot about weak.
Mm-hmm.
The meek. Mm-hmm. The mild.
They'll inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing too small in doing what God has called us to do. There's nothing. But sometimes we don't think that what he's given us to do is quite important enough, you know. But every little thing counts.
Every little thing has its own piece to the puzzle.
Yes, and it has to come together. If mm-hmm. I don't do my part, it doesn't set you up to do your part or you up to do mm-hmm. your part. What she has to do, it's exactly like you said, it's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And even though we don't always understand, we may not even, we've talked about this before, you may not see the end product.
Right.
But you've caused the ball to start rolling because of your obedience.
Right. And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
If God wants us to see the end product, he'll provide that opportunity.
That's right.
If not, we need to be happy that we were a part of it.
That's right. That's right.
And on the other side of that, sometimes we think we're not worthy to be a part of it.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Paul said in Ephesians, I think, yeah, it was chapter 3, he said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace.
Right.
And he goes on to say, and I'm less than the least of all God's people.
Right.
And he's being pretty humble there because he wasn't exactly the least of all God's people.
He didn't realize how far-reaching this was going to be.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Now you look at that and you think, right. But sometimes we think that, you know, but it is God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And because of God's grace, we're each members of the body, valuable members of the body. Nobody's a nobody.
No. And, you know, he just thought he was writing to the church at Corinth.
Had no idea we'd still be reading it all this time.
But he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make you the first and not the last. So we think we're last, but we're not.
No. We're not.
And our obedience leads us to complete the puzzle. I'm sitting here thinking we have different things coming up, and if we have the opportunity to put things together to assemble, mm-hmm. you know, in different times in our life with our children, we have to assemble something. And when we have those leftover pieces at the end, we all go, oh, that's not good.
Right, right.
And so in God's assembling, there's no leftover pieces whenever we're being obedient.
Right.
We're all doing our part. We're fitting in exactly where we need to be.
That's good.
That reminds me, also in Ephesians 3, if you go on, it talks about how his intent, God's intent, is that now through the church, the manifold mm-hmm. wisdom of God should be made known. Well, I looked up that word manifold.
Beautiful.
And yes, it talks about like an intricate weaving together, like an intricate painting. And you think about the church, we're so different, and yet He binds us all together and weaves us all together so that we can do great things together. It's the way the body of Christ is intended. And it's his intent that we should be winning lost souls.
Mm-hmm.
Not the preachers, the pastors, the event. I mean, the church.
The church.
And that's who we are.
Right.
And if we're to be faithful, then we have to be personally evangelizing those people around us.
Well, because it's like a cord that's bound together, and we're stronger that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's just one, it's just flopping in the wind. But when you come together and you bind together, that's a strong, unbreakable cord, right?
Right, right.
But we're each going to be held accountable for our own personal witness, too.
Yes.
And that's hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard. It's easy at church.
Right.
Right?
With believers that you know.
And people who chose to come to church.
Right.
But a whole other thing in your workplace or out and about.
Your daily life.
But we have the call. We're going to be held personally accountable for our witness, what we did with that.
Yes, for sure. A long time ago, whenever I was teaching a Sunday school class, there was a woman that was trekking across our parking lot. And I had seen her several times, and she was a person I don't think that went to church anywhere, and God had said I'd seen her going to some other establishments, and that morning I felt like God was saying, you need to go ask her to come to Sunday school. And she had a dress on, not that you have to have a dress on, but she was dressed that she could have went anywhere. And I didn't do it. And I've never forgotten that.
Right.
God has never allowed me to forget that.
I have several instances like that, and I never will forget it because I was disobedient.
Yes, yes.
And I say, Lord, give me another chance. Let me try it again, you know. And he does. He will.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make it work. But I also pray, Lord, send somebody to do what I didn't do.
Obedience is something that goes along with our faithfulness. We have to be willing to be obedient. And some of the words that came to mind whenever I was thinking about that was keeping. And, you know, in God's Word, some of the things that he talks about, to keep, submit, do, serve, trust, go. Can you guys think of anything else that I'm leaving out? Probably lots.
I can't. Oh, that sounds...
That pretty much covered it.
Well, being a person with my background being in education, at the beginning of every new school year, or I'm thinking about my teacher friends that return from breaks, after a long break of any sort, every teacher takes a long portion of class time to go back over classroom expectations. Because if you don't know what the expectation is from someone, then you don't know where you fit in, what you should be doing. And that's also an obedience thing. And I can remember going through that process with my students and how sometimes they would view that activity in a negative connotation. It was like, oh, here we go again. We're going to talk about this obedience thing. But I would post some of the classroom rules around the classroom, but I was also very big about if there was a procedure to do something, check out a library book. I would have all the pictures so they could see what that would look like. So they had a picture procedure, they had some rules, but still sometimes they viewed that in a negative way because they had to do something that maybe didn't fit into their thought process. And so I think obedience, we feel that same way sometimes with God, that he shows us through his word his expectations, and he wants us to obediently follow him. And he's loving us and being faithful to us through the Holy Spirit and his word. And we need to be obedient in that as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, Samuel told King Saul that, you know, God values obedience to him over sacrifice, mm-hmm. which is, I think, 1 Samuel 15 and 22 says obedience is greater than sacrifice because... We were talking about this earlier. Sacrifice is easy mm-hmm. to do because it kind of becomes a habit in some things. But that obedience, I mean, that can hit you any time, any place, in any way. Mm-hmm. Like you said, going and speaking to the lady.
Mm-hmm.
There's many times that I just argue, like, you can't be talking to me. Just send somebody else, Lord, because I know you can't be telling me, you know, and he is. Get up and go do it, because like you said, you're never going to forget it if you don't.
Right. I know.
It's an act of surrender. It's an act of surrender. If you are you get to that place where you're totally surrendered to him, it gets so much easier.
Oh, yes.
To just obey his voice, just do it. But it takes a long time, or maybe it doesn't take everybody a long time. It took me a long time to learn how to really surrender.
Right.
You say, I love Jesus and I'm a Christian, but you know, trusting him with everything, doing what he says to do exactly like you're supposed to, it takes time.
It does take time. It's study to show thyself approved.
Exactly.
Yes. And it takes time in a relationship.
Yes.
To know when he is telling us to do those things obediently. But think about us.
Think about our personal relationships with one another, with our spouses, with our children. You know, those relationships have to be built mm-hmm. and worked on. Mm-hmm. It's not something that just happens.
No.
It can't be once a week thing.
No.
The more you know them, the more you trust them.
Right.
And it's that way with God. The longer you serve him, the longer you walk with him. the more you've seen his faithfulness, the more you've seen his goodness, the easier it is to trust him and to do what he says to do.
Yes.
Yes. So why should we be obedient? We want, if you look at in Philippians 2:8, it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So that's talking about Jesus. And he came to this earth as a servant, and he spent his life serving here. And he did say, whenever he took the time to be alone with his father and say, if this cup can pass from me, mm-hmm. please do. But he still chose to be obedient because he loved us.
Right.
And I kept thinking, I had this image in my mind of a high dive. And you get, oh, I can do this. And you get out the edge and you go like, probably not.
I definitely cannot.
And so how many times did Jesus think, I really don't want to do this? Did he have that thought? Or did he love us so much? But
the
end result, yes, the end result was his obedience led him to death for us,
right.
for me. My sin nailed him to the cross. Yes. And so that in and of itself should lead us to obedience.
Yes.
That's I think good. If he didn't feel that, he wouldn't be able to understand how we feel. So I think he for sure felt like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to do
flesh.
It.
That's
I
right.
I don't want to do this.
He became flesh like us so that he would know what we felt.
Yeah.
Yes. And he knew his days were leading up to that point. And so that would have been so hard. The second thing is in Philippians 2:12-13, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. And these verses kind of blew me away. I had not studied that in depth, but oh my gosh, there's so much packed into those two verses. He talked about, to me, this is significant. He says, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed while I was with you, so much more you're obeying in my absence. Because how many times do we do something, do we be somewhere, because we want others to see us in that action?
Right.
But he was saying, you're past that. And I've questioned, have you ever gone to church to be seen by people? Have you ever joined in church activity to be seen by people? And that's when we're more concerned about what a person thinks and not about growing and maturing.
We would never do anything like that.
No.
Come to church every single service for the correct reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Not to be seen.
Yeah. No, never.
Never. So.
Lord, don't hit me with the lightning. Be quiet, Mary. No, but you're right, because if you think about the disciples, you know, they're writing about what they've seen. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily write about what they felt, how they perceived it. They wrote what they had seen or been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine that if one of them were writing and said, back in their by themselves, thinking, did that just happen? Did I really see that happen today? Did that blind man really see me? You know, was he really blind? You know, because
questioning.
Yes. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes in for us.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I question sometimes, you know, Lord, my faithfulness, am I being obedient enough? Am I doing the things that I need to do that fall in line with what you have said?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any Christian anywhere has not went through that or felt like you were in a rut.
Right.
You know, for lack of a better word.
You definitely get to going through the motions sometimes. And maybe not for a bad reason.
Right.
But sometimes
right.
you just get into
into
routines and into, you know,
right.
doing things just because you're supposed to be doing them.
Yes.
It's Sunday.
Right.
It's Easter. We go to church.
And it's good that you have that discipline.
Right.
That discipline is good.
But sometimes we have to be listening because it's going to be different. Today's going to be different because God has given me a different avenue.
Yeah.
And, we're not supposed to get complacent.
Right.
We're supposed to be,
And that's hard not to because we are a creature of habit.
Yeah. That's true.
But our obedience, even through creatures of habit, our obedience leads us to that deeper relationship.
Right.
I mean, if you think about everything that Jesus went through, he was here to do the things to help us to forever, you know, that group of people forward. And people mocked him, followed him only because of the miracles.
Right.
Even one of his closest companions gave him up. Mm-hmm. For, I was trying to look that up, is it 20 pieces?
30.
30 pieces of silver. And he still moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we not be obedient because of the love we forget?
Well, and when you go back to, you know, just the subject of faithfulness, you know, as humans, we expect people to be faithful to us, to be loyal, you know, I should be able to trust you with every secret I have.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a big mistake sometimes because when you put your faith and trust in the wrong person, you're going to get burned. But we know that when we put all our faith and trust in Jesus, we're not going to get burned.
No. He's the only person that that applies to.
That's right. People will let you down.
Yes. As we continue on in verses 12 and 13 of Philippians 2, it talks about, to me, I don't know, just something hit me very strongly about the presence of Paul and their obedience, but he was so excited that even without his presence, they were still being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
That was because he had planted the seeds for the relationship to grow. So that they would continue to have the desire to be obedient.
Right.
Wasn't because of Paul. It was because of their relationship with Christ.
Because they were maturing.
Yes.
They were growing up.
They were growing,
yes.
Very much. And so it goes on to talk about how we continue to work out our salvation. And the big thing is we don't earn salvation.
Mm-mm.
He gives it to us as a free gift.
Yes.
Jesus does. But through obedience, we have the desire to grow, just like you were saying, to grow in that relationship, in our walk, from a baby Christian.
The eating baby food.
That's the milk and not the meat.
Right.
Yes. And we want our children to go through, reach those milestones in life so that they're successful adults. God wants the same thing for us.
He does.
He wants that same, and we can't do that except by working out our salvation.
Right.
How do we do that?
Fear and trembling.
Fear and trembling. Through?
Study.
Mm-hmm. Study, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I put down these things, Bible study, corporate worship, not unequally yoking yourself, whether that's in marriage or friendships.
Exactly.
What, can you guys think of anything else?
I would just say, putting your trust in him.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And then we, like you said, through that fear and trembling, that awe of our reverence for God. And then it is for the purpose, it is for God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So working that out, so that our will and his will match and acting on it. How many times did God say, do, and those faithful people would go immediately and do whatever they were told, and then other times not?
Right.
Where do I fall in that? Sometimes I'm like, well, did you really say that?
But you know, it's so true because look at Moses.
Yeah.
He said, I stutter. You can't send me.
Well, look at Jonah. He had a legitimate complaint.
Yeah,
he did. The Ninevites were kill me. Mean.
Yes.
That he had seen the horrific acts, yeah. But God still said,
right.
But God.
Right.
And so we have to be obedient. It didn't work out so well for Jonah.
We can't always see what he's up to, but he's got a purpose and he's got a reason. And even if it looks scary and we seem unqualified and all the things, all the reasons that people had for disobeying in the Bible and all the reasons we have now, you know, if we could just stop to think, God's up to something.
Oh,
he's got a reason. I don't need to worry about it. I just need to trust him.
That's right. Trust the process.
Trust the Lord and do what he tells me to do, knowing that he is going to work it out.
You know, I've heard that phrase so significantly in the past year. Trust the process. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that come up before in my life like it has come up in the past year. Written on things,
mm-hmm.
people randomly saying that, mm-hmm. and I've kind of cued into that, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the process. God's process is something that we should grasp and hold on to.
Yes.
And even if it doesn't make sense, even if, thank goodness his ways are higher than our ways. If God was only as smart as me, we'd be in trouble. And so.
We same here.
You know, I mean, thank goodness. Yeah. And so because of these things, because of that relationship that was built, because they were maturing in their walk, it wasn't about who was seeing them.
Sure.
It was about God. And their walk with him, were continuing to work out that salvation that Jesus had so freely given to them. And they were doing it on reference so that they were matching God's will acting on it.
Yes. Look at Noah.
Yes.
They had never seen rain.
No.
They had never, it had just dewed up until that point. That's a weird word, but that's the word. He had to believe that a flood was coming.
Something he could not fathom.
Exactly. Yes. And where are these animals coming from?
Yeah. What do you want? What on this?
Exactly.
And what is this thing called an ark?
Exactly. A boat.
And you guys see in pictures. Yeah. Can you imagine poor Noah? She's probably going, I don't know if that's a picture I'm seeing.
And I wasn't saying that an ark was a boat. That came out wrong.
No.
But that's what he was thinking. What is this ship?
What is this?
That we're,
the dimensions. And
It was very specific in every, and he is that same way with us if we listen.
And he was the person for God's plan because he was obedient.
Yes.
He was the person. Can you imagine he and his small family were the people that God chose that were being
the only
obedient?
Ones. Yeah. The only ones.
And they had so much less to go on than we do. We have the whole entire Bible full of stories about how God never failed and all these miraculous things he did.
We still can't get it right.
And I know. And we've seen it in our own life. And we know for a surety that God doesn't fail.
Right.
He never fails at anything.
Never.
And so we should never be afraid or hesitant to obey because we know that all of his plans are good and they're all going to work out the way that he has them intended.
Right.
And yet we still, in our human nature, will find ourselves holding on.
And you know, that's why he says, you know, with that fear and trembling, you know, we have that. We're always going to have that fear and trembling, even though he says, I did not give a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We have to remind ourselves of that. We have to bring that scripture back to our, he brings it back to our remembrance, because when we fall into that fear category, because that's what Satan tries to do, drag us back into it in every aspect of our life, especially when it comes to our kids, our grandkids.
The hardest thing in the world is surrender.
Yes.
Your children.
Yes.
And I don't have grandchildren yet, but
but
assume it's the same.
It is the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Those verses I love. I have a new appreciation for those verses and what God taught me through those. The next thing, so we're moving through this. Jesus' obedience, the way we look at and work through our salvation. And then the third thing that I got to be a part of was practice. When we're practicing obedience, as Paul described in Philippians, the unity of the body of Christ becomes the natural progression. And in Ephesians 4:10-13, it says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And Shannon touched on these verses in a previous Messiah's Misfits podcast about renewing our minds. And then we looked at it a little bit earlier today. But once again, Ephesians 4 fits into this section of our podcast, showing us how obedience equips us for the works of service, which builds up the body of Christ. And you explained that so well last time.
Yeah, God has it set up in such a way that, like you just read, he gave us the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists to build us up, not to go out necessarily and win the loss, but to build the church up so that we can each go out and we can do our part
right
in evangelizing the world, teaching us how to serve, teaching us how to reach others. And so that's part of our faithfulness, too, is that we come to church. We take what the pastor gives us, what the evangelist gives us, where the teachers give us, and then we put that to use in our life. We build ourselves up so that we become the member of the body we're supposed to be, and we can go out and we can do what God gave us to do.
An action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And whenever we don't do our part in the body, it affects the whole body.
Absolutely.
And so our responsibility to obedience in that is enormous.
Yes,
that
yes.
We should be doing those things because of our relationship and desire to be a part of the complete body.
Yeah. A lot of people, I don't know, I say a lot of people, but you come to church, you sit on the pew, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I go to church.
Right.
But what are you doing? Like, we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, what did you do? Like, what did you do? We don't work our way to heaven. I'm not saying that we do acts to earn our way to heaven, but we have a responsibility as a body of Christ to be his hands, to be his feet, to be in service for him.
And that also goes back to the relationship. We want to do those things because of the love we have for him.
Yes, because we owe him our life.
Yes, because we should receive death.
Right.
Ultimately. But
and we should be really honored that he allows us to be a part of this.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Yes, thank goodness.
Not that we have to be, but that he lets us be. He wants us to be. That's the way he planned it. So that he said, well, it said in that scripture, we're the fullness.
Right.
His church is the fullness of, it's the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
And so what an honor that we get to work for him.
Yes.
We get to serve.
Yes. And we'll get to see the consequences of that service at some point in heaven. I can't imagine what that will be like. That I'll get to say to somebody, I'm here because you invested in me.
Right.
How exciting that will be. Well, as we mature in the body and we become more equipped for the job that Jesus has for us, he then commissions us to do something that we know. And so we need to be obedient for that, but it's a process. We're getting there. And in Matthew 28:16-20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go." What if they had just said, nah,
right.
I don't think I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little warm
today.
I'm too tired. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Wow. Obedience.
Obedience. Mm-hmm. You know, if anybody would.
And personal evangelism.
Yes.
Right. That comes maturity. Up again, too, right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. All of those things, all those pieces of the puzzle have to fit together in order for everything, all the gears to hit. You know, you can't miss one of them.
That's what faithfulness looks like.
Amen.
That's what obedience looks like. Yes. And if we don't get in to that wheel, the cog, mm-hmm. it gets dropped.
Right.
Who are we leaving behind?
Right. Let's not leave anybody. But you're right. I mean, we have to open our spiritual eyes and ears. We have to be listening and be prepared at all times for instruction so that we can be faithful and obedient.
Yeah. I just thought that there was such a progression from Jesus' obedience to building that relationship with him to being commissioned to go out and share with others.
That's good.
Yeah. And you know that everything that we do is going to be rewarded.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, we're going to have ultimate reward at the end when he welcomes us in and we experience that ultimate joy of the Lord. But in Ephesians 1, when Paul's greeting the church at Ephesus, you know, a lot of the letters that Paul wrote, he opened them up with, those who are called to be this or whatever. But to the church in Ephesus, he called them the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we know that if we're faithful, if we're the faithful in Christ Jesus, we have this grace, this free, unmerited favor of God.
Amen.
We have peace, which, if you look that up, freedom from disturbance. How disturbing the world we live in now. But we can walk in this world in peace. That's what
confidence.
He gives it to us because we're faithful.
Amen.
And then, love.
Yes. And love. Yes. And all the eternal benefits that come with having an intimate relationship with him. Every spiritual blessing. Isn't that exciting?
And it's in abundance. It's not doled out cheaply.
No, it's not. When you were bringing up the church in Ephesus, you know, and the letters, not everybody got that letter.
No. Yeah.
So
it's for the faithful.
The faithful.
And he wants us to experience his grace, his peace, his blessings. That's what he gives us for our obedience.
And all we have to do is receive it. We have to believe that we are worthy. He has made us worthy to receive those blessings that he has for us.
Thank God.
Mm. And what do we miss out on when we don't?
Right. Blessings.
If we aren't found
in
faithful.
In favor.
All these things we've talked about, if we're not found faithful, those are not gifts that are extended to us necessarily.
That's right.
You know? But one thing I know about him is he's faithful.
He is faithful.
He is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11-13, I love this. It says, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So even if I'm not faithful, if I don't do my part, God's going to do his part. He is faithful and can't be anything but faithful.
That's right.
That's why he's our perfect example.
He is perfect. Yes. He's not going to contradict anything that he has told us. No. We our minds try to do that, but he's not going to do
that. Well, and we live in a world that does that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
They say one thing, do another.
Do another. That's right.
We see it every day to the point that it's commonplace. People, it's almost the law of the land now the narrative, and also known as a lie. Mm-hmm. And so thank goodness for his faithfulness.
Yes.
We can trust him.
I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for his faithfulness.
Oh, me too, because like we said earlier, you cannot put your faith in the people of this world, even no matter how much you love them.
And
they will let you down.
And even those of us who love him and do our best to be faithful to him, I'll let you down.
Exactly. Not on purpose, no, but
I'm
we
human,
will.
That's and right. I'll do it. Right. I've failed people before.
Me too.
You don't want to put your faith in me, but every day I'm growing in faith. We have to every day be striving
to reach the mark.
Yes, striving to reach the mark. That's exactly. Right. Using him as our example.
Well, ladies, this has been fantastic. I mean, I hope that our listeners really grasp onto these things because we want to edify them. We want to edify the church, which is God's people, right?
Amen.
So yes. Would you mind saying a prayer to close us out for our wonderful listeners and us?
All right. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be together. Lord, I thank you for the process, trusting the process that you have given me as I've studied your word and prepared to share what you've given me with listeners. And Lord, I just ask that these words are a huge blessing to listeners, that they are words that you approve of, and that we've just reached the audience that you want us to reach. And Lord, but most of all, thank you for building the relationship that you have built with me. Thank you for the ladies and Josh in this room that have placed and invested in you, God, and thank you for the opportunity to be a child of yours. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Josh.
That's right, Josh. Being faithful to Christ is so very important. If you didn't take anything away from that today, our walk with Christ and his faithfulness is the most important things. Well, we want to thank everyone for joining us today. If you haven't already, make for sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode. Please leave a review and share with your family and friends so that others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve, to reach, and to teach.